Yesterday we were speaking about how the subject of ecstatic love of Krishna is the highest subject matter and most difficult to understand. Yet, the acharyas have brought the subject within the realm of our becoming acquainted with it. Now, how is it you're going to become more conversant with this subject matter? Those of you who have read Nectar of Devotion, you know that the second half of Nectar of Devotion is beyond logic and reason. The second half of Nectar of Devotion is dealing completely with the relationships in the spiritual world and the various flavors of those relationships and how those flavors combine properly and improperly. So there's, those of you who have read Nectar of Devotion, I hope all of you have, there's nothing in that second half of the book that your material logic and reason can latch onto. Therefore, the subject matter can appear to be quite exotic and just far off from another realm. Indeed, it is far off from another realm. But at the same time, you should understand, the behavior of the conditioned soul is a perverted reflection of what you read in the second half of Nectar of Devotion. Conditioned life means perverted life. No one likes to consider that they are a pervert. But that is the nature of conditioned life. If you straighten out conditioned life, that means you are purely connecting the living into the Krishna again, then all the healthy symptoms become visible again. The healthy symptoms are the ecstasy in relationship to Krishna. So what was Srila Prabhupada's solution to the problem of understanding Nectar of Devotion? Who knows?
Dovetailing
for understanding the Nectar of Devotion? What are you going to dovetail with to understand the Nectar of Devotion? It's just outside of the material world completely, the second half. Srila Prabhupada's instruction for understanding the subject of ecstatic love of Krishna in Nectar of Devotion is just hearing again and again, and by gradual hearing, through devotional service, the understanding develops. Now, materially, that doesn't make sense. Materially, if you hear something again and again, it doesn't mean you're going to understand it. But the nature of spiritual science is such that if you hear with the proper attitude again and again, then from within your heart, there is illumination. Prakasham Pay Mahatmana. The path to becoming a Mahatma, a great soul, is to hear with great faith and determination. Yashadeva Karama Kitadeva Kitasara. Tasyasya Katitasyata Prakasham Pay Mahatma. Unto that person who has complete faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, all the meanings of the Vedas become revealed. So this is bhakti mysticism. How is it that just by properly hearing Nectar of Devotion regularly, you'll understand it? How are you going to prove that to yourself? How will you enter into this laboratory? You just have to do it. Year after year of hearing, and I guarantee you, never mind 10, 20, 30 years, suddenly the subject matter, I wouldn't say suddenly, but it looks suddenly to you, but actually gradually the subject matter starts to come alive in your consciousness. This is something no materialist can understand. As the years go by in Krishna consciousness, if you just continue to hear and hear and hear nectar devotion, the second half becomes more and more accessible and seems more and more familiar because it's about your original constitutional nature. But in the beginning, there's this barrier, apparently, because the subject matter is beyond logic and reason. You've forgotten Krishna. You've forgotten your relationship with Krishna. Therefore, it seems difficult to hear the second half of nectar devotion. At first, it's interesting. Yes, maybe some of you had that experience the first time you read it. Oh, this is really amazing. I've never read anything like this before. But then to read it again and again and again, that requires some determination. But please understand for a fact that hearing it again and again through the medium of devotional service, that is the way to assimilate the subject matter. And you will find the process does work. Therefore, once again, we want to stress the point of viewing Krishna consciousness as a lifetime development. Any questions about this point so far? Yes.
Maharaj, as you tell that we have to hear it again and again, but isn't it a kind of conditioning we are providing to ourselves that by hearing the same thing again and again, conditioning our body to soar up our material consciousness into the devotional consciousness?
That is a materialist argument, very well stated. But by the devotees hearing the subject matter again in a kind of dulling themselves and just bringing about some state of material familiarization with the subject matter. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what is day for the materialist is night for the devotee and vice versa. There are two different worlds. There's nothing we can do about that. The Krishna Bhakta recognizes the two different worlds and knows who is the source of both. The Krishna Bhakta, as stated in Isha Pramishara, learns the science of enlightenment and meshes side by side. That doesn't mean in order to understand Maya, you engage in Maya. No, it means you understand Maya by hearing from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna teaches you about vidya and avidya, knowledge and nishas, side by side. In this way, you learn about Maya safely. This is the wonder of the bhakti educational process. You're not learning by experience, you're learning by hearing from Krishna. So, yes, it is not that the devotee lacks experience of the world. We're just getting our experience in a different way. You can experience by hearing. That's the advantage, or that is the special characteristic of hearing Shabda Brahman, spiritual sound. It provides experiences. That is why there can be ecstatic love just by thinking of Krishna, just by hearing of Krishna. Because you're hearing about the Absolute, in which there is no difference, as we explained yesterday, between the presence of the person and remembrance of the person. If you can grasp this point, then you can start to deal with this science of ecstatic love. That is the bhakti specialty, the science of ecstatic love, and that science is personified by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the personification of the science of ecstatic love. That is the unique contribution of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has concluded, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gurudasaya. I offer my most humble obeisance unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is the most merciful of all appearances of Krishna, Because he's giving what no one else, not even Krishna, has given before. That is pure love. So, I would like to try to encourage you to have the patience to hear throughout your life the subject matter of nectar devotion. And you'll find, if you've been following the regular principles, if you have been trying to hear the holy name, if you have been a humble servant of your spiritual master, you will find that the subject matter becomes illuminated within your heart. And an increasing taste develops that you start to love to hear this subject matter. It's not that you are interested because it's exotic and novel, like when you first heard it. But no, a natural relish develops within your heart. So, I beg that all of you, please, to the proper execution of Krishna consciousness so that indeed this reality becomes manifest to you.
You asked for repeated reading of the nectar devotion
book,
but many times we have a problem that we have not gone through all the Prabhupada books even once. So, like
over and over again. That's why there's no time for Maya. Now you understand. Right, there's no time, I agree. And that was Srila Prabhupada's own judgment. You had no time for any of us. One lifetime is not enough to understand these books. All right, you have come to the proper conclusion. The Krishna Bhakta feels overwhelmed with the Krishna research. Like some of you are studying at university. You know what it means. You know what it feels like to be overwhelmed with the research possibilities and avenues that are opening up. Right, Charmaine? So, similarly, a devotee feels overwhelmed with Krishna research. How do I ever understand Krishna? How do I ever understand all these books? In this way, your life is completely full. That's the whole point. I've got to have repeated reading of Nectar Devotion, repeated reading of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. I can't even remember what I read in Bhagavad Gita the last time I read it. Isha Upanishad, I don't remember Nectar Instruction. And Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? Throw out the TV. Well, Maharaj, that would be bad. Yes, I want you all to feel this. This is so much. And when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find so many verses quoted from Ujjwala Nilomani, Rupa Goswami's advanced Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Goswami descended, in which explicitly and completely and exhaustively you have the science of ecstasy delineated. In detail, Rupa Goswami, Ujjwala Nilomani, as quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, will even analyze 10 different types of mad talking and static law. This is the best science. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find the most important quotations from all the Rasa Shastras, all the Shastras about ecstatic love of Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, has given you the creed. Therefore, if you want to become familiar with the subject matter, you should read Chaitanya Charitamrita again and again. Now, let me, in order to show you some well, how do we say it? In order to concede the point that, yes, devotees have difficulty understanding the ecstatic transformations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We discussed that point yesterday, for those of you who weren't here, that often devotees, when they read, like the Ancha Lila, it seems quite strange to them, alien existence, the transformations of Lord Chaitanya goes through, the madness of ecstatic love. The subject matter seems like, why all these very apparently painful bodily states? Yes, it is difficult to understand. And I'm going to give you support for that feeling. You can understand that feeling has some partial justification, but you can also understand how to go past that feeling. Let us go to the situation of Madhavendra Puri, who is the grand spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're going to go to Madhavendra Puri's last stage of his presence in this world. And here you're going to see a problem by his own disciple to understand what is love of Krishna and separation. Yesterday we discussed how love of Krishna and separation is the specialty of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Therefore, it's the specialty of our sampradaya. It is the highest subject matter. Therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read when Lord Chaitanya was touring South India and he was discussing with Ramananda Roy in that most confidential part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Ramananda Roy discussed the various levels of spiritual attainment, love of Krishna, he finally got to that point. And then Lord Chaitanya pushed him one last time. Do you know something higher? And Ramananda Roy began to speak about love of Krishna and separation. And Lord Chaitanya stopped him right there. That's the pinnacle. Beyond meeting Krishna is feeling separation from Krishna. Our whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is about that. By attentive chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll realize as the years go by that you are crying out for Krishna in separation. And in those feelings of separation, the devotee meets Krishna and gets more pleasure through separation than by meeting Krishna. It's double talk. You're separated from Krishna, but you're actually meeting Krishna through the feelings of separation. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada explains in the third canto of Bhagavatam, the devotee gets more pleasure out of the feelings of separation from Krishna than by meeting Krishna. But you can't understand that ordinarily. But you constantly hear about this with a healthy spiritual appetite from devotional service, the meaning will become clear. You just have to put in the time. Quality relationship. Isn't that, you know, common buzzword today? Especially amongst couples, families. Put in quality time. Yes? Isn't that? Those who are married, you know, they often hear that mantra. Is it so? Quality time. Let's have some quality time in this relationship. Well, give Krishna quality time all your life and you'll understand what this subject is. Quality time in relationships is not simply a grihastha subject matter. It's also a brahmachari and sannyasi subject matter. The relationship we are speaking about is Krishna. We must give Krishna the quality time for the relationship to develop. So all the ashramas are different styles for getting that quality time in the relationship with Krishna. If you see it like that, then you'll be able to utilize your own particular ashram as an efficient vehicle for Krishna conscious development. In every ashram, the devotee is thinking, where's my quality time for Krishna? That is the essence of it all. As Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Instruction, the essence of all advice is to spend every moment absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So, in the sadhana stage of bhakti, you will feel that push, that struggle even, how to have quality time for Krishna. That's good. Don't feel bad about it. Why am I still feeling this way? Why is it still a struggle? If you didn't care, you wouldn't struggle. But because you care, you struggle to keep your life Krishna-centered. So don't feel ashamed about that struggle. Embrace it. Rejoice in it. I'm proud to struggle to keep Krishna number one in my life. Not that, oh, how many years is this struggle going to be? I thought it was going to come easy. Alright, let's go to the bad example of Ramachandra Puri. Just see the departure of Manavendra Puri from this world. He's about to leave this world, he's chanting the holy name of Krishna. And he would cry, oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura. I could not attain Mathura. This is Manavendra Puri demonstrating ecstatic feelings of separation from Krishna. I could not attain Mathura. I could not attain Mathura, not the Lord of Mathura. Sometimes devotees wonder, why is he saying Mathura and not Vrindavan? Isn't Vrindavan the most intimate and the highest? But you see, in the Shastra, Vrindavan is included in the Mathura district. You can look at it in that way, that Vrindavan, the forests of Vrindavan are part of the Mathura district. So therefore when Madhavendra Puri says, oh, I could not attain Mathura, he's meaning Vrindavan God. So he's crying these tears of separation. Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter of Mathura. So then his disciple, Ramachandra Puri, decided to instruct his guru. This is a great offense. Whatever you do, you don't instruct your spiritual master. It is totally improper etiquette, and it blocks the transmission of Krishna consciousness. Because the actual guru is Krishna. Now you may say, well, what's the big deal about the guru? He's a more advanced devotee than me. But I'm a human being, he's a human being. You could look at it from that angle, except try to understand why you've taken initiation. You've taken initiation because that is Krishna's system. And through that system, Krishna acts. He asks you, you want to understand the truth. You take up this process formally through initiation. You inquire submissively from the guru. So you are doing these things to please Krishna. Similarly, you are behaving towards your guru in a certain way to please Krishna. Because that's Krishna's system for reviving the Divya Gyan in your heart. This is personalism. Once you lose sight of the personal nature of the actual truth, the whole system of spiritualization falls apart from the thing. And you'll be a Mayavadi. And indeed, what do Mayavadis do when they think they have achieved a certain level of spiritual attainment? They push the guru away. Okay, now, I have come to the platform of oneness. There's no need of any more distinction. It is all us and we are all it. You know the famous story of Srila Prabhupada walking around here in Mayapur. And he had to cross one little ditch. He could step over it. So to help himself step over the little ditch, he caught hold of Bhavananda Prabhu's hand. And then when he stepped to the other side of the ditch, he shoved the hand away. And then he said, that is my love. Take help of the guru to, rise to Brahman and then toss him out. So, please remember that all the etiquettes between the disciple and the spiritual master are there for pleasing Krishna. It's Krishna's system. The spiritual master is simply Krishna's employee. That's all. And Krishna's watching. How are you treating my devotee? And according to how Krishna sees you treating his devotee, Krishna reveals himself to you. So you may argue this way and that way, but the point is, it's Krishna's system. If you want to please Krishna, you take the Krishna system. If you want to hack everything apart, it'll all be lost. And you could wind up like Ramachandra Puri. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, but he was so dry he became an offender. So when his spiritual master is departing from this world, Madhavendra Puri, who's known as the seed of ecstatic love in this sampradaya, Madhavendra Puri is the seed of ecstatic love, and from him grew the tree of ecstatic love, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that Madhavendra Puri is the guru of Ramachandra Puri. But just look at Ramachandra Puri's attitude. He began to instruct his guru. You're supposed to be at the state of Purna Brahmananda, full Brahman bliss. You should only remember Brahman. Why are you crying? Ramachandra Puri thought, we know the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Brahma-bhuta prasadana nasochitina kamsati. One who has attained Brahma-bhuta platform is fully satisfied within himself, prasadana. No hankering, no lamenting, nasochitina kamsati. Why is Madhavendra Puri lamenting? This is not Brahma-bhuta. He thought he had it all understood. He didn't understand that Madhavendra Puri is crying out of tears of the highest transcendental realization. He couldn't understand. He took the hankering and lamentation of Madhavendra Puri as a mundane thing, because he didn't understand love of Krishna and separation. So there, you can get some consolation if you feel it's hard to understand love of Krishna and separation and the ecstatic madness of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can get some sympathy from Ramachandra Puri. He was so dry. Now, what was Madhavendra Puri's reaction? He became very angry. Get out, you rascal! Get out, you sinful rascal! Don't show your face to me anymore! Go anywhere you like. Do what you like. If I die seeing your face, what will be my destination? We're singing every morning, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavad Gita. When the spiritual master is pleased, the spiritual advancement flows. When he displeased, then all spiritual advancements flow. So you see that Madhavendra Puri is highly displeased. Ramachandra Puri couldn't understand that Madhavendra Puri's lamentation proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. It's not ordinary material lamentation. Oh, I could not achieve Krishna. I could not reach Mathura. So Ramachandra Puri thought he was so advanced, but he couldn't understand these ecstatic feelings of Madhavendra Puri. So, Madhavendra Puri goes on explaining. I'm already unhappy because I'm dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna. Now, in front of me, I have a condemned rascal coming to instruct me about Brahma. I'm dying in my unhappiness, and this rascal has come to give me more pain. So, Ramachandra Puri, in this way, was denounced by Madhavendra Puri. And because of his offense, gradually material desires began to overtake him. Some of you may know the famous verse recited by Madhavendra Puri. Aihina Dayana, Idina. Yes. Om, my Lord of the Tour. I could not attain mature. Lord Chaitanya took his mission from this recitation, verse 5, Madhavendra, recited by Madhavendra Puri. Then, we look on the other hand at Ishvar Puri, the perfect example of a disciple. In the departure of his spiritual master, he was tending to him so humbly and menially, cleaning the stool and urine of Madhavendra Puri with his own hands, and reciting verses and chanting Hare Krishna to assist the mood of Madhavendra Puri in feeling separation from Krishna having left this world. He pleased Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction, "You'll be a great devotee and lover of Krishna." This is how Ishvar Puri became the ocean of ecstatic love of Krishna, and from that ocean came Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Kaviraj Goswami says, Madhavendra Puri instructed the whole world by these two examples of the two Puris, which are completely different. In this way, Madhavendra Puri distributed the ecstatic love of Krishna and left this world. Remember, he's the seed of ecstatic love, and that seed grew into the tree of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please meditate upon this verse. I Dina Deyagra Nata Hey Matura Nata Kadabala, you say. Hridayam Tvat Aloka Kakaram Dayati Kamyati Kim Karomyam. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? This is Madhavendra Puri teaching you through this verse how to achieve ecstatic love of Krishna. Now later, we're going to hear that sometimes it is thought, even apparent devotees may think, that this feeling of separation from Krishna is only for the highest, rarest type of devotees. And that was what Lord Chaitanya came to show. No, this is a complete concoction. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport that Lord Chaitanya came to demonstrate that feeling separation from Krishna is the easiest way to get Krishna God. Think about that. For everyone, it's the easiest method. Any questions at this point? To understand what you've lost. Once you understand what you've lost, the path as shown by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the easiest way to get what you lost. But you have to begin at the beginning. Therefore, the first instruction, the nectar of instruction, is one must learn to control the mind and senses. Otherwise, everything is spoiled. Other questions?
How is separation from Krishna and separation from spiritual master?
Because Krishna and his devotee, they are on the same level. Feeling separation from one's spiritual master. is appropriate, it is wanted in Bhakti. You can read in this recent Mayapur magazine, Srila Prabhupada's prayers, his Ashtaka, his 8 prayers in separation from Srila Bhakti's Siddhanta Sarasvata. Now you have to bear in mind that a real devotee never thinks, I am a devotee. But on the absolute platform, the devotee and Krishna, they're qualitatively equal. Therefore, feeling separation from a real devotee. That allows you entrance into the world of feeling separation from Krishna. Krishna is never alone, he's always with his devotees. When you feel separation from the devotee, you must be feeling separation from Krishna, because what is a devotee without Krishna? And what is Krishna without devotees? It's only in our conditioned mind that we chop between the two. Well, there's Krishna, there's devotees. Impossible to separate them. Anything else? Attitude of being pleased. It's not a light thing. Oh, Babu was pleased. It's not like that. Think deeply. Kamarajya Swami said, do you really understand the depths that have been opened up because Mahaprabhu was pleased by Vananda's glorious behavior when he was arrested? Okay, so everything seems to be okay, no danger. The Leela has just begun. So, Kashi Mishra comes to the house of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya, as we concluded yesterday, talks in a way that indicates he's disturbed. I can't stay here in Puri anymore. Let me go to Awalanath. There's so many disturbances here. I can't get any rest. Just see what's happened. All the family members of Bhavananda Roy are engaged in government service, but they misspend the government's money. Then when there's a problem, the government tries to get the money from them, and they're punished. The sons of Bhavananda Roy are punished. Then they come to me to release them from their due punishment. I'm a sannyasi beggar. I want to live alone in a solitary place. What is Mahaprabhu doing in a solitary place? He's feeling separation from Krishna. But these people come and tell me about their material unhappiness, their dukkha, a material affair, material duality, happiness and distress. I have nothing to do with all that. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is showing he is a personality of the spiritual world. He's not interested in hearing about sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress, mundane affairs. So, as we concluded yesterday, Lord Chaitanya said, Jagannath saved Gopinath one time, but what happens when he makes the same mistake again, misspending the government's money on dancing girls? Now, no messenger told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Gopinath had spent the money on dancing girls, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just added that in for us. Extra impact. Apparently, it's his way of saying, I don't want to get involved with this, you know? He spent the money on dancing girls. He explains, Lord Chaitanya explains, if I hear about the activities of materialistic persons, my mind becomes agitated. I don't want to stay here and be disturbed like that. And then Kashi Mishra grabs hold of Mahaprabhu's feet and says, why should you be agitated by these affairs? You are a renounced sannyasi. You don't have any material connections. It is true that one who worships you with material purposes is blind to all knowledge. If one engages in devotional service for your satisfaction, his dormant love for you will awaken. But if he engages in your service for material purposes, he's a fool. So, now, this is a very clever presentation by Kashi Mishra, what you're about to hear. He's agreeing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, anyone who worships the Lord for material purposes is foolish. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has indicated his objection. Gopinath Patanayaka, Bhavananda Roy's family, they're involved in material affairs, they get into material trouble, and they come to me to save them. I don't want anything to do with all this material sukha, dukkha, karmic activity, punya, the whole works. I don't want anything to do with it. So the Kashi Mishra is showing intelligence in submissive devotional service. You are renounced sannyasi. Yes. There's no doubt anyone who worships you for material purposes is foolish. Now, is Kashi Mishra referring to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya as fools? No, he's making that statement as his introduction to exonerate, to declare as innocent the followers of Mahaprabhu. Listen to what he says. It's only for your sake that Ramananda Roy resigned from his government post in South India. It is only for your sake that Sanatana Goswami gave up his minister post. It's only for your sake that Raghunath Das gave up all his family relationships. His father sent money. Raghunath Das wouldn't even accept that. He eats by begging alms. Straight away. Gopinath Patanayak is a good guy. First class lawyer presentation. Similarly, Gopinath Patanayak, he's a good one. He does not desire material benefits from you. And the proof is, it is not Gopinath Patanayak that sent all these people to tell you about his dangerous situation. They were all his friends and servants who, seeing his distressed condition, informed you. Because they all know Gopinath Patanayak is a soul surrender to you. May we all have a devotee to complete our case like this. Actually, who is the topmost lawyer for the devotee? Huh? For all the devotees, who's the most confidential topmost leader of the case? Srimati Radharani. She presents to Krishna, "This devotee is better than me. You please accept him in your service." So, Kashyapa goes on. Gopinath Patanayak is a pure devotee. He worships you only for your satisfaction. He doesn't care about his personal happiness or distress. That to worship you for happiness, that's the business of materials. Gopinath Patanayak is not like that. And Kashyapa explains that one who engages in your devotional service 24 hours a day, only desiring your mercy, will very soon attain shelter at your lotus feet. And then he quotes the famous verse of the 10th canto, Taktenam Pansamikshamano Bhunjane Patma Katambahatam Kritvadhu Bhir Vidhatam Namaste. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee. This is a must for every devotee who wants to go the distance in Krishna consciousness. You've got to see your way through this verse. All roads to the spiritual world lead through this verse. A devotee graciously agrees to suffer whatever minimal reactions Krishna is sending his way, and goes on worshipping the Lord from the core of his heart. And then Krishna becomes so pleased, and Krishna certifies you as a bona fide candidate for going back to God. But if you become angry at Krishna, "I did so much service for you, and now look what's happening to me." That is not the attitude this verse is going to be. "I took to devotional service, I surrendered Prabhupada's mission, and now my wife left me, my husband left me, my kid turned out to be a wreck." Sometimes devotees get angry about this. Yes, you've heard this. Where is the dream world that Mahaprabhu promised me? He promised me my wife was going to be like Draupadi, the husband was going to be like Yudhisthira, my child was going to be like Palamara. What happened? Now I'm so discouraged. I can't go on. Yes, you'll see devotees, they become discouraged in this way. Or, because this time is a preaching mission within the material world, sometimes devotees have to undergo austerities from bad leaders, or good leaders who become bad. Even sometimes unfortunate politics within a temple. And then devotees may become hard-hearted. Of course, we don't want that there's bad leadership. We don't want that there's politics in the temple. But because this time is like a hospital, some patients are not going to follow the doctor's orders all the time. That's just the way it is. When I was a young devotee, I myself had trouble with this point. I thought, wait a minute, this is the spiritual world.
all the devotees are so beautiful, and why has this happened and that happened?
And then I heard from Srila Prabhupada, he said, we are not utopians. In other words, we're practical. We understand contamination and its effects, and how Krishna consciousness is voluntary. So devotees can get a hard heart from so many disturbances. But if you always keep this verse in mind, you'll be able to pass through all that. And nothing compares to Krishna's glance of pleasure upon you when he's pleased by your service. Nothing compares to the pleasure of the spiritual master upon a devotee, for a devotee voluntarily accepting inconveniences of the service of the Lord. Alright, let's try to finish this. So, Kashi Misha, after certifying Lord Caitanya's associates, especially Gopinath Patanayak, as unalloyed devotees, Shiva Bhaktas, he begged Lord Caitanya, please stay in Jagannathpuri. Why go to Alangana? From now on, no one will disturb you about material affairs. So then, Kashi Misha left to go to his house. And Pratyabharudra made his daily visit to Kashi Misha. The king, Pratyabharudra, would every day visit Kashi Misha to massage his feet and to hear from him about the puja, the worship for Jagannath. This is a real government leader. Every day coming to massage the feet of Mahaprabhu's devotee and inquire, is Jagannath being worshipped properly? How do you see? How do you see the altar? How do you see the puja is going on properly? So as he's doing that, massaging the lotus feet of Kashi Misha, Kashi Misha begins to speak very diplomatically, bhakti diplomacy. My dear king, please hear one very special item. Lord Caitanya wants to leave Jagannath Puri and open Alangana. Immediately the king is very happy. And he asks, why? And Kashi Misha explains, Gopinath Patanayaka was put on the changa. All the servants of his ran to inform Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Caitanya heard this, he was extremely sorry in his heart. And he, in anger, chastised Gopinath Patanayaka. What did Lord Caitanya say? Kashi Misha said, Mahaprabhu said in anger, Gopinath Patanayaka is mad at the sense gratification. He takes the government money and spends it all for sinful activities. The government money is more sacred than a Brahmana's property. Someone who misappropriates government funds to enjoy sense gratification is most sinful. That the king wanted to punish him is appropriate. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Therefore, the king is very religious, and Gopinath Patanayaka is very simple. Therefore, I shall leave Jagannath Puri. I'll go to Alangana. I'll live there peacefully. I won't have to hear about material affairs of Sukha and Dukha. That's Kashi Misha's presentation of Lord Caitanya's state of anger. So, then what happened? Pratyabharudra heard all this and felt great pain in his mind. Lord Caitanya, leaving Jagannath Puri? Okay, here's what I'll do. I'll just write off all the debts in Gopinath Patanayaka. If Mahaprabhu will stay in Jagannath Puri, I cancel all the debts in Gopinath owes. If I, for one moment, could get Mahaprabhu's darshan, I would not care for the value of millions of Chintamani stones. I don't care about this debt that Gopinath Patanayaka owes. I am ready to sacrifice even my kingdom, even my whole life, just for the Lord. Then Kashi Misha tells him, it's not Mahaprabhu's desire that you cancel the payment. He's just unhappy because the family of Balan Roy is disturbed. and in the cave explained, I didn't have any desire to give pain to Gopinath or his family. I did not even know that he was being lifted on the changa, on the swords, to be killed. Simply Gopinath sneered, he made fun of my son, and the son tried to, you know, shake him up a bit. The king told Kashyapa, you go to Mahaprabhu and do everything you can to keep him in Puri. I'll excuse Gopinath from all his debts. Then Kashyapa explained, if you excuse Gopinath from all his debts, Lord Chaitanya will be very unhappy. It's not his intention that you excuse Gopinath from his debts. Then the king, being also very, he's a king, therefore he's master of diplomacy. Okay, I'll excuse Gopinath Patanayaka from all his debts, but don't tell Lord Chaitanya. Simply say that all the members of Baba Naroya's family are very dear to me. See all this maneuvering is going on. Baba Naroya is worthy of my worship and respect, therefore I'm always naturally inclined toward his sons. So then the king went back to his palace and he called in Gopinath Patanayaka. You are excused from all money you owe the treasury. And I again give you the post of collector in this particular zone. Collect money for the government. Don't want any more misappropriate government money. But just to make sure that you don't feel any need to use government money, what will I do? I'll double your salary. And then he gave Gopinath Patanayaka a very costly silken wrapper, which is symbolic of high office. He gave that to him. And he said, now you go to Lord Chaitanya. After you take permission from him, then go to your home. Now you may go. So, Kaviraj Goswami here is starting to insert his help for us to understand this pastime. He explains, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can certainly become spiritually advanced. Indeed, no one can estimate the results of his mercy. Gopinath Patanayaka achieved the result of kingly opulence just by a glimpse of the Lord's mercy. Therefore, no one can calculate the full value of the Lord's mercy. So you're getting the understanding of it. There's been some indirect grace bestowed by Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya was all along saying, I didn't want to get involved in material affairs, dollars and cents, sukha, dukkha, karmic activities, government money. But somewhere or other, look what's happened with Gopinath Patanayaka. And now all the people in Jagannathpuri are talking about this. Gopinath Patanayaka was lifted onto the changa to be killed. All his money was taken away. Now all his debts are excused, and he's appointed once again as a government collector. On the one hand, he didn't have any money to pay his debt, but now his salary has been doubled. What's going on? So everyone in Puri is talking about this. So Kaviraj Goswami has to explain. It was not the desire of Lord Chaitanya that Gopinath Patanayaka be excused of his debt to the government. Nor was it Mahaprabhu's desire that Gopinath's salary be doubled. Nor was it Mahaprabhu's desire that Gopinath be reappointed as collector. So what happened? You see, when Gopinath Patanayaka's servant went to Lord Chaitanya to tell him of Gopinath's situation on the changa, the Lord was somewhat agitated and dissatisfied. The Lord had no intention of awarding Gopinath the happiness of material opulence, but simply because someone informed him of his dear devotee, the result came. You have to think deeply about this. Lord Chaitanya had no direct intention to bestow the Jayarathas upon Gopinath, but because Gopinath is a devotee, just by the servant of Gopinath running and telling Lord Chaitanya of the situation of that devotee got so much Jayarathas. So directly, Mahaprabhu wasn't involved, but just a glimpse of his mercy did all that. It's very mysterious. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, no one can understand the wonderful characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot understand the intentions of the Lord. Goes on further. We'll conclude this tomorrow. We'll see how deep this pastime is. And bear in mind, you have to juggle two realities. The indirect effect of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and the direct effect. And then you're going to see tomorrow how Lord Chaitanya brings them all together, the direct and indirect, into one package. And you'll get Krishna's cover of those Krishna's cover of Goswami's explanation of what's going on. Alright? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.